I don't trust ice. No matter how cold the winter, I'm wary of being on a frozen lake, river, creek, even a pond. Seems like I've fallen through ice on all of these, and in the process, ruined two pairs of binoculars. I still do it, but that feeling of firm footing giving way is not something I care to experience. The thought of driving over any ice is a troubling one. Is there any worse nightmare than not being able to get out of your vehicle as it slowly sinks beneath the ice? Still, it is exhilarating to ski or snowshoe on a river as it winds along. With solid ice, you can be right along open, flowing riffles, and wildlife tracks abound along these winter highways. An opportunity to ice skate on a river comes along rarely, and I've done it once, skating for miles on smooth river ice. It's so wonderfully different from skating around in imperfect circles. When the ice is that smooth, you don't have to keep focusing down and ahead, but can enjoy the ever-changing scenery. I love pond hockey, but it would be nice to have multiple insect-like eyes so you can watch the ice for cracks and bumps and have other eyes on the goal, the players, and the puck, which always seems to have a mind of its own. Occasionally, a lake will freeze like glass, so clear and smooth you can't tell if it's ice or open, calm water. It's a rare opportunity to see all the subsurface life, the plants, crustaceans, and fish through the frozen barrier separating two worlds. Who can forget the first time they were on ice when it made a loud, sharp cracking sound as it contracts and expands? When this happens under your feet, it can make you jump, like reacting to a grouse exploding from deep powder snow. On a quiet winter night, you can hear this from miles away, wondering if it was the lake or trees cracking from the cold. My worst ice experience happened while I was snowshoeing on a river where it is perhaps 100 feet wide. It was late winter, and we'd had some warm weather, but this particular day was cold in the single digits. I wanted to see what activity there was along the river, human and otherwise. It was completely frozen, covered in snow, except where wind exposed opaque ice. I was traveling along a series of horseshoe bends and some steep banks. It was a brilliant sunny day, very little wind, and the perfect temperature for hard physical activity without perspiring. Chickadees sang their two-note spring song, and a pair of ravens were quirking and tumbling overhead, probably already in playful nesting mode. Recent fox tracks were in a straight line, their trail easy to discern from zigzaggy dog tracks. I was perhaps a mile from my truck, planning on a couple more miles before turning back, when the ice gave way. I fell in up to my chest and couldn't touch bottom. I gasped in surprise, as much as from the immediate stabbing cold. My snowshoes were still on, and I could feel the river current slightly tugging at me as I rested my elbows on the edge of ice. I tried to boost myself onto the surface, but unable to touch bottom and getting no kick from the snowshoes, I couldn't get high enough out of the water. Then I remembered that I had ice spikes. These are sharpened screws set into hand-sized wood dowels attached together with cord. Whenever on ice, I wore these around my neck for just such a situation, but I'd never used them, nor did I ever hope to use them. I grabbed these with my chopper mitts, rammed the spikes into the ice, and began pulling myself ever so slowly out of the water. I managed to drag myself onto my knees and lift my legs and snowshoes over the edge. It felt like my lower body weighed a ton. As I slowly stood up on the edge of ice, it gave way, and I was shocked to find myself back in the water, again unable to touch bottom. By now I felt fairly exhausted, and some fear wedged into my brain. Dark thoughts began racing through my mind that maybe I wouldn't be able to get out, that my body would wash up in spring, still attached to these silly snowshoes. It seemed an embarrassing way to die, and I felt a keen determination to not let this happen. I began pulling myself out again, and with what felt like the last bit of energy, dragged myself out of the water. I didn't think I'd be able to do this a third time, so I didn't stand up, but rolled to shore. Holding on to some alders, unsteady, I slowly stood up and looked at the jagged scar of dark water. It was hard to tell why the ice gave way where it had. My heart and head were pounding, and I took some deep breaths. I felt the weight of wet wool trousers, water-filled boots, and snowshoes, which were now covered in ice and snow. But my hands, chest, and head were mostly dry. I knocked as much ice off the snowshoes as I could and began putting down tracks along the river. By the time I made it to the truck, my trousers were frozen stiff. I managed to slip out of my snowshoes, throw them in the back, and start the engine. It felt incredibly good when the heater finally ran at full blast, and I took off my boots and trousers down to my long johns. The shaking didn't seem to affect my ability to drive. When finally home, a long hot bath brought me back to life, and I think if I'd had a sauna back then, I would have been in there all night. That evening, wrapped in a wool blanket in front of the wood stove, I didn't have my usual mixed drink on ice. Just hot tea and cocoa.